Texas fans' apathy for basketball is at an all-time high, so we hope you pretend we're football for the next hour. I'm your host, Will Bays, and I'm joined alongside by Johnny Brashear and Tim Preston. As always, you guys are listening to the Hornscast channel. Today, we're going to be going over the NIT, as Texas is currently well on their way after a nice round one win against South Dakota State. Tell you all our thoughts on the South Dakota State win. Tell you what to expect from their next matchup against Xavier. And honestly, how excited would we be if Texas were to win the NIT? And would that cool shock a smart seat at all? We'll go ahead and tell y'all about that in our brackets coming up here. But first, we're going to start off with pretend you're getting to know us, as we always do. And I know there are some people who don't like it, so you know what? Screw you. We're going to do it anyways. So,
yeah.
Today's pretend you're getting to know us is, what do you highly recommend? And Johnny, we'll start with you. What do you highly recommend?
It's probably good because I'm pretty sure whatever I've come up with, Tim's is better.
Well, Tim was really excited for this one, so you have some
he was.
Big shoes.
There was genuine excitement. So yeah, I need to set the bar low so that Tim can easily clear it. what I highly recommend is sitting. Just sitting. Like if you ever
literally putting the bar on the ground here.
Yeah, it's, you know, what I'm saying is, like, if you have a quiet place, like especially like outdoors, like my backyard is not large. It's honestly pretty small, but it's quiet. There's a nice breeze on most days. It doesn't get the afternoon sun, so it can be kind of cool. And sometimes I'll just go back there and sit. And just sit. And it's nice. Like, I have some plants back there. Sometimes I get hummingbirds. Like, I just sit. And I'm not on Twitter. I'm not looking at my phone. I'm just there. I'm
so
just
let's say,
existing.
Let's say I don't have a backyard like you. Let's say my backyard is, I don't know.
It brings all the boys to the yard?
Yeah, no, maybe.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
That's my, my milkshakes.
All right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Do you have a nearby park or something? I mean, look, I know you're doing well enough that you could be somewhere where there's greenery in the
area.
No,
I'm just saying as a person. And,
oh,
and
as
by
a
the
person.
Way,
I feel
fans,
like you could sit in your
always,
home. Like
always,
you can sit in your
here's,
home.
Here's a
That's
PSA.
That's fine.
Tim, shut up. I'm talking to fans here, okay?
Okay.
Okay. Sorry, Tim. Seems like I hurt your feelings.
No, I didn't. No.
Tim, come back. I'm sorry.
Listen, I just think that our listeners, all eight of them, could sit in their houses.
Well, they could. To the listeners, I want you to also play along with us. So that's all I wanted to say. Tim,
I'm sorry.
I'm sorry I hurt your feelings.
It's okay.
No, Tim.
I like sitting too. I feel like John is, like, he's bastardizing that he's the only guy who likes to sit, which is horse shit.
I didn't say I solely recommend. I said I highly recommend.
Johnny,
I did not claim dominion over any position other than standing or laying.
You're like the Tucker Carlson of sitting. So is it my turn?
No.
Well, that's fine, because this is not going to air. You know why? Because you're an asshole.
But no, Tim, we're saving you for last, you know.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Because, again, you have some pretty high expectations.
Yeah, see if you can beat sitting, motherfucker.
I got better shit than that. Yeah, that's...
Tim, I don't know if you could beat sitting, but go ahead and try. My thing that I highly recommend...
No, go ahead, Will. No, we built this up. Tim is now the cleanup hitter, so...
No, but
Will
just said go ahead and try.
Yeah, no, he was just setting things up. We're building drama here. This is drama.
Yeah.
Sheesh.
This is podcasting gold.
I just said I had an answer. I didn't say it was an amazing answer. I had an answer.
No, yeah. Tim, you built it up as you have the best answer.
Curses.
Out of any pretend you're getting to know us we've ever had. I mean, you literally said this before the show, Johnny. Did he say this?
I didn't. Honestly, I couldn't hear him over all the fist pumping he was doing.
Yeah.
He was just... That, just it was constant. Just there was a fist pump, and there was like sort of he did that
like
arrow
that
thing
kid,
when you make
right?
a three. Like he did that thing. And
there was actually like a chorus of angels that came out behind him.
Yeah,
it was kind of hard to hear Tim talk at all.
That was I'm sorry. That was actually me. But this, yes,
and honestly,
otherwise.
We're kind of procrastinating getting to the actual story because we couldn't really build anything for the show because of the racket Tim was making because of how good his pretend you're getting to know us question is, or response.
It's like that German kid at the soccer game who's just so excited and just lets out that huge scream or whatever, right? Everyone's seen that GIF, I want to say. Now you've got that's a picture for the show. Yeah. Now you got a picture for the show, Will. Yeah.
Anyways.
Okay, go ahead, pal.
So what I recommend is Tim's answer. No. No. Mine, if I'm going to get real here, it sort of doesn't have to do with sitting. There's a lot of sitting that involved in my answer, but Dungeons and Dragons. So I don't know if it's been on the show that I don't know if I've ever, you know, it's like Alcoholics Anonymous. Like I, you know, we all sit around in a you know, a circle or sit in a meeting. I'm Will Baser and I am a nerd.
There's a loaf of bread in the middle.
Yeah. I play Dungeons and Dragons and it is maybe some of the most fun I have had hanging out with a bunch of friends, like just fucking around in an imaginary world, doing whatever the hell we want with crazy superpowers. And it's just, you're drinking with a bunch of friends. It's just a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun. And if you were even have an inkling of curiosity in the game, then I highly recommend that you play it because it is just, I used to think it was like, there's no way I could ever see myself playing that game. You know, but then I kind of, there's a gateway drug of YouTube, and then all of a sudden, here I am with a good set of D20 dice and a sheet where I am a dwarf.
Well, I'm definitely guaranteed the silver medal in this competition at this point, so go ahead, Tim. What is yours?
No, that's a good answer. That's a good answer.
At least you didn't say, like, Magic the Gathering or whatever.
Are you aware that you can drink with friends and not play Dungeons & Dragons?
Yeah, but it's a lot more fun to do it with Dungeons & Dragons.
Oh, okay.
It's an additive to it. Like, it's already fun to drink with your friends. But then you add on Dungeons & Dragons, and it's a lot more fun. It's not like it wasn't fun before, you know? Yeah. But...
No, that's legit, man. So I guess the first thing I would say, I'm just going to go ahead and take my turn. First thing I would say is, strangely enough, I've never played Dungeons. I have some nerd in me. Never played Dungeons & Dragons.
Especially when I'm over.
The only time you have a funny bone in your body is when I'm fucking you in the ass. But I've never played it. And I don't, you know, as much as I appreciate your plug there, Will, I'm not going to play it. Also, I don't like sitting.
Tim,
like
I highly recommend it.
I get that. I much prefer laying down. Like I'm kind of a lay down or stand guy. Anyways, unless I'm driving, then I kind of have to.
But if you could lay down and drive, would you do it?
Yes. Well, like whenever like the actual like the car can drive for you, that's gonna be the best day ever. So I get so jealous of my wife and kids. Like they can, the kids are watching their iPads. My wife is on her phone playing a game while we're driving, and I'm just fucking staring at Iowa roads. It's great.
I'm just staring at Iowa.
Wow, what a wonderful thing. Okay, well, I guess so. Mine is I really apologize to our listener. Sorry, pal. But so when I think I've maybe even said this before, but when I was 10, my family went on a trip to New York, and it was if you ask my sister or myself, and I think if you actually like got my parents to truly talk about it, all of us would say it's the worst trip we've ever taken. Not because it wasn't cool, like we saw cool shit, we went cool places, and I'm excited like to take my kids to some of those same things. But my mom kind of lost her shit. She was angry. So, like, every single night ended with, like, my sister crying and me pretending to be asleep as my parents fought. So, like, my parents are still together. Like there's, you know, like there's nothing like that.
Where are you going with this? Do you highly recommend?
I think he's highly recommending not going to New York City with your family.
Whilst in New York, we went to Little Italy, and we ate at some, I have no idea the name nor where it is. We ate at an Italian restaurant, and it was incredible. So if you can find that restaurant and eat at it, I would highly recommend it. Because I remember sitting there and thinking, this is the best food I've ever eaten. And the waiter came over and said, would you guys like some dessert? And I don't know why he's French. I don't know why he's French. No idea. And we're all like, no, you fed us too good, man. The food is too good. We don't have any room for dessert. And he's like, oh, terrific. And it was so, like, I love pasta. I love pasta.
Would you say you highly recommend pasta?
This stuff at this place, like, I can eat shitty pasta. Like, I can eat a lot of shitty pasta. Like, there's no problem at all. But this place was so magical. Just truly spot on. So, go to New York. Don't bring your family if you can avoid it. Head to Little Italy. I remember it was dark. I don't remember there being a lot of windows, so that helps. The tables were round and kind of smallish. White tablecloths, I want to say.
Mm.
The guy was he wasn't super tall. Like, he was, you know, medium height, average build. His food was tremendous. Tremendous. So if you can get there and go to that place, I think you're going to absolutely love it.
I'm really glad to know I won this thing. This is awesome. Because Tim is advocating for a mythical place that has probably been closed for at least 15 years.
There's no way. It was too good. There's no way.
It probably got blown up in 9/11. It didn't make it out of that.
Wow. Okay.
Tucker Carlson.
Will just advocated hanging out in a basement with some dudes and pretending. Like, I really feel like I won this thing. I'm going to take the gold on this. Thank you, everybody. Oh, I appreciate it. I enjoy this award. I am humbled and I'm very blessed.
You've got your opinion. We've got the truth. All right.
Yeah, so. Exactly.
Mm.
Hope everyone was super.
3-point shooting was the truth. Sorry.
Tim, I'm sorry. Tim. No, Tim.
Giving you gold. Oh, my God. Now it's time for... It's that wonderful time in each night where Tim scaredly checks Audacity to make sure... Okay, it's going. Woohoo!
Tim, come back. No, yeah. I'm sorry. Tim.
No,
but I hope all listeners, 1 through 9, were really, really satisfied with Tim's answer. Because
they're probably Googling right now. They're on Yelp. They're all on Yelp looking for Italian food in New York.
If somebody can actually find this place, like, I might buy us all tickets to go there. Like, how confident I am that no one will find this place. If somebody does, we are going to New York and we're going to eat at this place.
It's definitely a Starbucks by now.
So apparently the best thing you could possibly do is play Dungeons and Dragons at that Italian eatery whilst sitting. So that...
No. No.
I could do that.
No, you could, of course, because you're used to pretending to enjoy things. So...
Wow.
That's not different.
I'm used to pretending we're football. Let's go ahead and do that. Look at that.
After
at
our 48-minute pretend you're getting to know us.
Yeah, you didn't think we'd get to an hour, Will.
Let's do a 5-minute show about the NIT. Woo! So,
listen, everybody, we don't want to talk about this any more than you want to hear about it, so we're really sorry.
Let's go ahead and talk about South Dakota State.
The Jackrabbits.
Clearly the best of the directional Dakota states.
Wait, what? Johnny, wait, real quick. What are the states that are above Nebraska?
I'm going to go with Calgary and Peru?
Close enough. Mm. All right, Tim, what were you saying?
I have two students in my classes that are going to SDSU, one for softball, one for baseball. So I was not conflicted at all, but just a little fun fact. Calgary actually is not – it's far enough west that it's not over Nebraska. It's over, like, Montana. And
I would like to amend Colorado. My answer to Rome.
Wait, are we talking about Rome pre the dissolve of the Roman Empire or post?
I would like to amend my answer to Berlin.
Okay. Are we talking about split Berlin or
Canada?
There we go. All right. So, Tim.
Yes.
No, Berlin, thoughts, Canada.
What are your thoughts on that South Dakota State game? So, one thing that I was looking for in that South Dakota State game was maybe some more playing time for the younger guys, but it really was more of a Dylan Osikowski show, wasn't it?
It was. He played a great game. I was happy for him. When I think about when he left Tulane and had some options around the country where he wanted to go, like he chose Texas over Arizona. He chose Texas over a number of different, like, pretty high level teams. And I think he did so because at that point he believed that Shaka had a chance to, you know, turn the corner at Texas and was going to do something relatively special. Clearly that didn't happen. His 3 years at Texas have been, I guess, kind of inarguably the worst 3 years in a row that Texas has had since Rick took over in the late 90s. So I do feel for Dylan. As much as I think that he's brought some of it on himself, I was really happy for him that he played as well as he did against Kansas there in Kansas City. And then to have the game that he did last night was nice. I thought that he obviously played with a lot of passion and excitement, and that's an important part of the NIT. I think from a standpoint of what did we showcase against South Dakota State, as far as like playing style and what we're doing, South Dakota State obviously did their homework and realized that you want to keep us out of the paint. So we saw a lot of three-point shots. Luckily, it was going down last night. I was surprised that we went to either Dylan or Jericho as little as we did as far as post entries or trying to take advantage of some of the switches that they were doing. We found, I think, Jericho at least like six or seven times where he had a 6 foot one guy on him, and we still didn't go to him. So it was interesting to see that we kind of were like, we were going to keep Roach and Ramey and Coleman on the ball very consistently. So I'll be interested to see if that happens in a lot against Xavier or not. Otherwise, you know, the game looked like a lot of games this year. When we hit 3-point shots, particularly hit a decent amount of them, we're going to do pretty well. And against South Dakota State, that was a big thing. I think they started out like 9 of 20. I don't remember exactly what the final tally was from the outside, but they were, you know, they were pretty hot to begin it, and they held on long enough to take them down.
I don't know if I would say that South Dakota State did their homework so much as that's how they play everybody. They allow a higher percentage of threes than almost any other team in D1. I think they're like 344 out of 353. And when you look at three-pointers as a percentage of all field goal attempts taken, so they pack the paint against everybody. And they basically say, we will guard the three, but we're way more interested in cutting off driving lanes. And so that's why Texas took as many threes as they did, is because they were open. I mean, they weren't doing anything super fancy to get those open threes. It was pretty simple stuff, really. And I think I had flashbacks to like Cam Ridley's first year or first couple of years where Jericho would bury some dude 5 feet from the rim, and I'd watch a guard on the perimeter look at him, pump fake once or twice, and then pass it back around the rim like Felix used to do when he was a freshman or sophomore.
Julian Lewis for the win.
Yes. I was having flashbacks to that constantly because Texas actually was doing some, you know, they built some interesting things in terms of slipping off of, like, presenting Jericho's presenting the screen and then slipping off it, and he'd be wide open running down the, you know, down the side of the paint, and the guards would just look at him and keep throwing it around the side, and that kind of drove me a little nuts, because Sims did a lot of good work last night, and
very much so.
He deserved to get the ball more than he did. It did seem like they trusted giving Osakowski those entry feeds more than they did with Sims.
Here's a quick question. So Jackson Hayes is out for, obviously, the NIT
tournament.
He's
done.
Obviously, right, yeah. Does he come back next year? And if he does Jericho Sims leave?
They will not both be back.
Yeah. I don't think there's a snowball's chance in hell that Jackson Hayes comes back. He is currently being listed as high as 9th in mock drafts. There's no upside to him returning. None. If he returns, it is for entirely non-monetary reasons. I just don't see that happening. So Sims, you know, I mean, if in theory, let's just say for the sake of argument here, if Shaka is back next year, yes, Sims is probably back. If he's not, then all bets are off because new coach, roster attrition, et cetera, et cetera. But we'll get to that some other point in time. I would like to echo what Tim said, that Osakowski had one of the best games of his career. He looked like the dude we saw in that orange-white scrimmage on his redshirt year, when everybody went ape shit over him hitting threes and, you know, doing the good work in the post and all that kind of stuff. Like, he looked like that game was what people thought they were getting from Osakowski from that orange-white scrimmage like 3 years ago. And he played like a guy who knew this might be his last game playing high-level competitive basketball. I mean, I think a guy like Osakowski could potentially go play abroad somewhere if he really wanted to, but he may be treating this like it's the end of his career, and he played with the sort of confidence and desperation of a guy who sees the end of the road. Unlike Roach, who I don't know what he was doing in the second half. I know what he was doing, but I don't know why he was doing what he was doing beyond he's Roach. He was pretty good in the first half, but in the second half it was like, oh look, here's a couple.
No, extremely he was pretty good in numbers. The first 3 minutes.
Yeah, well, yeah. Yeah, I mean, I guess I'll put it this way. I had to work last night, so I saw the first half, and then I didn't watch the second half till hours later. So I might have fuzzy memories of the first half based off of, you know, how long it's been. But he's Roach. You know, you know what you're getting with Snoop, in that there's going to be some plays where you're like, oh wow, look at that, and there's other plays you're going to be like, oh wow, look at what the fuck, you know. And he was that. He's still not starting, which is interesting.
They came in like 25 seconds into last night's game. Like,
it's sort of ceremonial, yeah. And Liddell, to Will's point, Liddell got some minutes early in the game. Hepa got a pretty decent amount of minutes. Yeah. So some of the younger guys got some minutes where they might not have if this was like a Big 12 game.
It might have been nice to have the same rules that they have for football that they could have for basketball, where even 4 games, you can keep a red shirt, so you can get guys like Brock Cunningham out on there and see what he can do and give him some time on the field or court.
Well, they technically can do a red shirt if he plays in less than 30% of the games, but I think it has to be early in the season. Like, I don't think you can do it like the last 30%. So there is some redshirt flexibility, but not that. It's a different kind of flexibility, I guess.
Yeah.
I'm all for more redshirt flexibility. But I do want to hear, so one of the main things about, if y'all are done with the total thoughts on the game.
Yeah, I don't know that I am real quick. So if we can pause for a second. I want to go back. Yeah, I want to go back to Roach because that was – so here's kind of a lay the groundwork for moving forward and thinking about not just this game but the tournament. I thought it was so telling when Roach has those two turnovers that lead to SDSU taking the lead. When that happens, and then Kerwin sits for the rest of the game, right? I don't think he played like the last 5 minutes of the game.
Yeah, he was out for a while. I don't remember the exact numbers, but something yeah, like
that. Yeah, I just that was really there have been, and we'll talk about some of the Shaka stuff later. Obviously, we'll touch on it, but there's been some conflicting reports, or at least I've gotten some different things about Shaka and the stuff with Kerwin, as far as when Kerwin actually got suspended before and what that was about. But to watch Shaka in something like the NIT, right? Like he gave Dylan so much freedom in that game, and we rode Dylan all the way to the end, which was awesome. And then to watch him sit Kerwin for those last few minutes, like, no, dude, you've lost me enough games. You're going to go ahead and sit over here. That was really, really telling to me as far as where Shaka's mindset is. Because maybe Shaka's gone in a week, right? Like, if we lose against Xavier in the next game, which is certainly possible, they're a capable team. If we lose against them and he takes off or whatever, that's you know, then it is what it is. But they also then, you know, he rode with Coleman and Ramey as the game went on and said to Kerwin, you're done. And I think it's going to be interesting to see as they move on in this tournament, if they happen to win the next game, or even if not, like what leeway does he give his seniors? Like how much do we actually see of Kerwin as he goes forward? Because there's been a lot of people around the Texas fan base who've been like, why are we allowing Kerwin to be in these games? Like, why are we trusting him in those situations? And yesterday, I think, really was the first game kind of ever. I don't ever remember again when Kerwin wasn't in there in those late game situations. And in fact, most of the time, Kerwin was the guy who the play was, you know, be drawn up for. And yeah, to go from, hey, you're our guy, you're the one who's going to have the ball in his hands, to go ahead and sit right here, pal, was a really fascinating turn of events for me, because I wanted it to happen. Like, fuck you, dude. Like, you can't turn over the ball over in those situations, because they were just like straight up giveaways. And then to see him get benched was I'm like, all right, not messing around here. I guess we care about the NIT.
Yeah, well, that's interesting. Is you're saying they care about the NIT? If I'm Shaka Smart, I realize the NIT is the NIT. And I'm starting to look forward ahead, because any chance he stays, I'm getting ready for the next year already. I'm playing the freshmen, I'm playing the sophomores, and I'm playing the juniors who are going to be here next year. And, you know, thank you, Dylan Osakowski. Thank you, Kern Roach. You can play, but I'm getting my guys ready. But Shaka Smart is in a sort of a mode where he's saying, I have some pride, and I'm going to make sure that I win.
Well, I mean, I think it's fair. Like, one, I don't know that Shaka knows how not to try to win. Like, that's just not really in his DNA. That guy is, I mean, you know, like most D1 coaches, he is ultra competitive. And I don't think he really knows how to coast. So there's that. The other thing is that, regardless of how his tenure turns out, whether he is back next year, whether he is somewhere else next year, there is no situation in which him not trying to win these games helps him. Now, whether it is him trying to get another year at Texas, winning games in the NIT helps more than losing them. If he is trying to find another landing spot and he wants to look good for other schools, winning games helps more than losing them. So, I don't really subscribe to this idea of playing your young guys right now just to get them experience, because I'm of the opinion that the vast majority of the experience in the basketball realm, at least, happens on the practice court. and that's where your reps really come from. That's where you get, that's where you learn the most. That's where you, you know, you progress the most. And it's a more a matter of applying that stuff on game day than it is like those game day reps being, I mean, they're meaningful, but I don't know that in terms of trying to build a player up from scratch that the, you know, playing him five extra minutes per game in a couple NIT games is going to make a meaningful difference relative to the vast, you know, amount of time he spends on the practice court. So I think it's, I just don't think there's any way in which him playing, I don't want to say to lose, but him not having the goal of advancing this team as far as possible in the NIT, I mean, there's no scenario where that doesn't really help him, whether it's this job, the next job, whatever.
Yeah, if the games matter, where I think the your point is well taken, Will, is that question mark of, okay, if he cares, if this isn't that matters to him, he's going to play who he thinks gives him the best chance to win. Like, I don't feel like he's in a situation right now, even as much as obviously he needs to prep for the future, you know, because if he is back, he needs to, he must have a capable year next year. So you're right in that whatever we can get for the guys who are going to be here moving forward. However, what is probably best for those players is playing more games. So if Kerwin helps us play more games, then they're going to play Kerwin. If Dio helps us play more games, then they're going to do that. Like, if you can get them an environment like New York City where they're playing for something that matters and it's on national television and, like, you're going to bring home a trophy, like, that makes a difference. That's something that it can help a team. Is it TCU or Baylor that won it a few years ago? I want to say it was TCU that won it.
Well, both of them have won it in the last few years.
Okay. And that, you know, that kind of stuff makes a difference to teams. And so it's going to be interesting to see. Like I said, I don't think he benched Kerwin because Kerwin just sucked last night, which he clearly did. But I was thinking he benched Kerwin because, look, dude, you don't give us the best chance to win. Like, you're not helping us. And so if that's the mindset that he's in, and he really thinks that Ramey and Coleman give us a better chance to be successful, that's good for us. That's a good thing, because I don't just want Kerwin to sit because I don't like Kerwin. I want Kerwin to sit because Courtney and Matt are better than him, that they are going to give us an opportunity to be successful in a different way than he does, or in a more accomplished way than he does.
Yeah.
And so if that's happening, then good for us. And if Dylan gives us a better chance to win than Kamaka does, then play his ass. You know, that's what it probably should be, because nothing really is going to help us like preparing for a new game, having more practices, getting ourselves in a situation where we can win and win and win.
And I, just as a side note, if you had to guess how many minutes Osakowski played last night, what would you say it was?
26? 28?
24, which it okay. Felt like he was on the court like 30 plus minutes because he was doing so well. His impact was so outsized of his minutes that I was surprised when I saw he was only out there for 24 minutes.
Well, Kamaka got a good amount of minutes. Even Ham got like, I want to say like 5 or 6 minutes, and Jericho played probably what, 20-ish? I don't know for sure, but
Sims played 26. He played more than Osakowski.
Yeah, yeah. And he good minutes.
Yeah.
Numbers won't show. I thought Jericho looked really good last time. I thought he did a really good job.
Yeah, he looked like freshman Jericho.
Mm-hmm. So let's go ahead and step on to the next game. So Texas is going to be coming up against Xavier in this next game. What should we expect out of Xavier?
They crush the glass. If you've watched them play at all this year, I watched them play a couple of games I watched them play Cincinnati. I watched them play Villanova. They get all over the glass. So that's going to be a very interesting matchup from our standpoint, because we are certainly susceptible to that. So I'm glad we're playing them at home. That's good, but they get after the glass very well. They don't create a lot of turnovers, which probably helps us. We've also struggled when we've kind of not taken care of the ball very well, and they're not going to attack ball handlers a ton. Because, again, they really want to take care of the paint. But I think that we're going to see them pack it in like we've seen a lot of teams in recent contests. And obviously they're going to really, really get after the ball on the glass. And if we cannot keep them off of the offensive glass, we will struggle, which will be interesting because actually I think Dylan, for all the things he did really well last night, rebounding is not one of them. I believe he only had two rebounds in the game.
Yeah, he spent a lot of time on the perimeter.
Yeah, so we're going to that's going to be an interesting dynamic with how well he defends and then kind of gets on the glass. So we will need to kind of team rebound as well as possible, because that if you're looking for like a silver bullet of what do we need to accomplish, to me that's the one thing of at least be competitive rebounding wise. If we can, we should have a pretty decent shot. If we can't, Xavier is decent. They're a good team.
Yeah, they are a significantly better team than they were 2 months ago. They seem to have. Once they went to their two big lineup, they have improved a lot. I think they've beaten Villanova twice in the last month. They beat them in February, and then they lost in overtime to them in the Big East Conference. That's what I'm thinking of. Okay, so they've beaten Villanova once. They turn the ball over kind of a lot, and they don't force many turnovers. So that is an area where Texas maybe could flip this thing a little bit, especially if they can't get a fair share of rebounds like Tim talked about. Xavier's not a good three-point shooting team, which is usually the thing I look for first when I try and figure out if a team is likely to beat Texas, is because the good three-point shooting teams seem to be maybe not kryptonite, but a lot more likely to beat Texas than otherwise. I'm thinking of that Oklahoma State game. And so they're a good team. They're not a great team. This is going to be a much slower paced game than the game was against South Dakota State. It's probably going to be played a lot more in the post. So it is up to Sims and Osakowski and to a lesser extent Ham to play without fouling, to put together good defense and deal with some bigger dudes than they faced against the Jackrabbits.
Yeah, and I would take another step with that and say, kind of to look at yesterday's game, I'm sorry, look at Tuesday's game in a touch of a different light. I thought we did a really shitty job of staying in front of ball handlers. We gave up a lot of straight line drives against the Jackrabbits.
The 2-3 zone was horrendous.
Awful. Awful. Just really bad awareness, really bad spatial integrity. And again, just standing around on switches or on times where we had an opportunity to see some help defense, and then just like letting the defender go by. It was terrible. It was freaking everybody. Like, it wasn't just Jace and Eli and Kamaka. Like, those three guys are going to have their issues. But Roach did it multiple times. Ramey had some issues with it. It was really frustrating to watch how poorly we guarded dribble penetration. So while I think Xavier is going to struggle shooting threes, as they have a lot of the season, if we can't stay in front of the ball, they're going to get – that's a team where if they get some shots at the rim against our help defense, they're going to get a lot of putback points because they crash hard. So we need to do a better job of limiting their ball's penetration and keeping them from getting our help defense rotating at the rim, because they're going to have some guys that are going to get in there and have a good look at putting balls back up in the rim on those second chance points.
They need to protect against rebounding like they did for three of the four halves against Baylor. If they can do that, they probably win this game.
Yeah. Yeah, I think you could say that Xavier's a worse Baylor, but very comparable.
Okay. So you're saying that Texas should probably win this game. And if they do, then they're probably.
I'm not going to say that because we've done that every time one or both of us says that.
So now
they
that
lose
I said
the
that,
game.
Like, yeah, you're right. Every
Will
time we've
said
done
that,
that.
Tim and I never said that for the record. So blame Will if the season ends against Xavier.
Every time anybody is on the show has done something like that, we've lost. Like TCU, UGA,
Oklahoma State.
Yeah, no, every time. So, okay, so since we're going to lose, I guess this next point is we're going to be talking about it, it's pretty moot. But assuming Texas goes
all the way and they win the NIT and they get to put up a banner that says, hey, we won an NIT. Does that help Shaka Smart at all? Would that cool Shaka Smart seat at all? And, you know, actually, before we even do that, would you be excited? Would you actually be excited to win the NIT?
So my answer to that is really short. No, not really. I don't really care. Like, I won't tell fans about, like, oh, let's not forget that NIT championship. You know, But winning the NIT would mean that Texas played 5 solid games in a row, which I don't know that we can point to a stretch under Shaka that we've done that. I don't know if we can point to a stretch of saying like 3 games in a row that we played really well. Or at least it'd be tough to think of those or bring those to mind. So from a standpoint of like, does it matter to me that Texas would win the NIT championship and like, yeah, we brought home the trophy, number 69, what a great number. But not necessarily, however, if we could see a Shaka coach team play with the ability to beat capable, not bad teams over that kind of stretch, that would be pretty cool. Like, that's the kind of thing that we'd be looking for, right? Because it hasn't been getting up for Kansas. It hasn't been getting up for hosting Iowa State. It hasn't been, you know, playing the North Carolina. Like, we are okay against those teams. If this team made the tournament this year, I wouldn't be surprised if Texas could have won a game. The problem has been consistency. And to win the NIT, you have to care and you have to play consistent basketball. And those would be things that I would be really excited about to see a Shaka coach team do those things.
If there were ever a situation set up for Texas to make a tournament run, it's the possibility of playing 3 home games before getting to New York. And because with Alabama losing, Texas is the highest seed left in that bracket. So they get the home game against Xavier because they're the higher seed. And if they win that game, they will be the higher seed against whoever makes it out of that other side. So they'll
either
get
Norfolk or Colorado.
Yeah. So either way, it's another game in Austin. So with the way this team has played at home this year, that bodes well for the possibility of making it to New York, at least. As far as winning an NIT title, I agree with Tim that it would be good in that it shows consistency. It shows an ability for a team that has dealt with a setback, namely not making the NCAA tournament, focusing in and accomplishing a goal. And it's not a bad goal. Like, it's obviously it's nothing like making the NCAA tournament. Although I guess we can technically say Shaka has now made a Sweet 16 at Texas. It's
a sour 16.
Yeah, it's a
bittersweet 16.
Yeah, bittersweet 16. That is exactly right. I guess the way I would look at it is, if Shaka is trying to save his job, if he is trying to make it another year at Texas, if he is trying to use this as a launching pad for next year's team, winning the NIT will be the best chip he has to play when he goes in to talk to CDC. To be like, okay, I know this season has been a series of ups and downs. I know it's been disappointing. But at the end, I was able to get these guys together. We were able to show something, and we won 5 straight games, including breaking the New York curse that plagues Texas for the last 2 decades. That is his best chip left if he is, I mean, other than the guaranteed money, is his best chip left to say, I deserve another year at Texas. Functionally, does it affect his job status or his long-term job status? I don't really think so. I think at this point we're talking about increased or decreased leverage when it comes to negotiations. And that's about it. I'm not going to remember what year Texas won the NIT 10 years from now. I will be like, I know they won it one of these years, and then I'm going to get on Wikipedia and be like, oh, right, it was 2019. Okay. But that's, I mean, it's the NIT. It's not the old NIT. It's the, you know, consolation tournament. So, I mean, I'll be excited for the players because for all of the bullshit that they've gone through and all of the twists and turns and ups and downs they've had at the same time, you know, these are guys who have put in hundreds upon hundreds of hours busting their ass trying to do the best they can. And obviously they're all disappointed with the situation and with the season. But being able to send the year out on a good note probably would be nice for them, especially guys like Dylan who've gone through a lot. And it would probably be good for him to say, well, at least I capped my career by winning the NIT. That would be nice.
Way I could look at it is it kind of be like last year, Texas winning the Texas Bowl to end off the season. So you you're 6-6, or what was it? Yeah, you're 6-6. You lose a bunch of games you're supposed to win, like Maryland, like Texas Tech. And you cap it off with a, you know, not the best bowl, but something that you can, you know, have some sort of a momentum going into the next year.
Yeah, the NIT is the Poulon Weed Eater Bowl of basketball. So, so yes, that is exactly right. It is a
the
mindset
bad boy,
thing. It is
bad boys mowers.
Gasparilla or what was that one? There was one was like,
yeah,
Gasparilla something.
Bad boy motors, like bad boy mowers.
Yeah. Bowl. Yeah. It's like the affliction bowl. Everyone gets shirts. Yeah, that's if we're debating sort of the pros and cons here, that's you know, especially if you're trying to maintain a cohesive group, ending the season on a positive note like that helps.
No, it does. And I think it establishes that they can do it. It establishes for a guy like Matt and a guy like Courtney, and hopefully kind of puts that back in there for a guy like Jace and Kamaka, that they have that ability, that they are a group of collective players that can put that together. So I think that there's been so many wrong turns and so many difficult situations where Texas over the time with Shaka has just not been able to take that next step or turn the proverbial corner or whatever it is. And it would be really nice for them to, you know, in May or in July, when they're putting in hour after hour and they're going into the gyms and getting up shots and they're trying to, you know, to figure out like how they're going to add new wrinkles to next year's game. That shit's easier when you feel good about yourself. Like when you've come off a season where you're like, all right, well, it wasn't what we wanted, but like you have some of that, tangible, palpable, emotional equity that you've put in and that you've gotten because of having some success. And you can't overlook some of that emotional baggage that a season like this has. If they know that this man that they really care about, that has convinced them to change and alter their lives from wherever they lived, wherever they were from, and come to Texas because of him and because of what he has promised them that he can help them do, if they see success with that, that makes a difference. And I just hope for their sake that they are able to have some kind of positive from this year, that, hey, we're not this bad, that there is light at the end of the tunnel, that we have a chance to do something pretty cool moving forward. Now, I don't think NIT champions, I think like the best an NIT champion has ever done the next year is like the Sweet 16 or maybe even the round of 32. So hoping that we're going to like go on a run then next year might be a little bit too much, but I do think that there's a lot to say that not only do NIT champions kind of it's a nice piece for your team, but there's a lot of background data that says, and then if you win the NIT, there's a very good chance you're going to make the tournament and then hopefully have a pretty decent run the next year. So that there's a lot of pieces that you can say you're playing for with this.
So while we're talking about Shaka, are there any quick updates on Shaka and anything, you know, because I've been hearing things like Shaka isn't happy at Texas and, you know, especially with Wake Forest coach being let go,
What is there anything
has
behind
that happened?
The
scenes? Is that
no?
Done?
It hasn't happened yet. It may
with
happen.
Reports that Wake Forest's coach is getting let go.
Yeah.
Is there anything moving
sources
behind the scenes here?
I would say okay. So let's take this in two pieces. One is Shaka happy? No. I mean, I for no other reason than the season has clearly not turned out the way he wanted it to. I guarantee you he is frustrated with where this program is in year four. I mean, as much as us as fans are disappointed and frustrated and angry, or to whatever degree each of those they are, I guarantee you that Shaka is more so than you, because that guy, like, he doesn't have a hobby. Like, this is all he does. Like, other coaches, like, I'm pretty sure Tom Izzo probably gambles a lot or something. Like, he seems like a guy who's got something else going on. Like, he cares a lot about basketball, but he's got something else going on. Shaka just seems like he does push-ups and thinks about basketball. Like, that seems like that's his, that those are his only things. Like, maybe he does crunches. I don't know. He's got big-ass grapefruit calves, so I don't, he's on the stair climber, who knows. Anyway, point being, he's definitely not happy with where the program is. He happy at Texas? That's debatable. He may not be very happy here, and honestly, I couldn't really blame him if you're dealing with year four of a program that has not turned around the way you want it to turn around, if you are dealing with a fan base who is unhappy slash apathetic about what's going on. You know, you get 1,600 people to the NIT game. That's, I mean, for a guy in his position, I'm sure none of those things are things that he enjoys. So I'm sure he would rather be playing in the NCAA tournament.
But that all sounds like so much fun. So much fun. Like,
I mean, I know I personally prefer to play basketball in front of as few people as possible, but that's because I'm terrible at it. So that's for me, it's maybe a little different priority list than Shaka. I don't think he's happy here. I guess the more pertinent question is, does he see a path to being happy here long term? And I don't know if he does or not. I've heard conflicting things, so I can't say 100% he's like, I'm all bought in and want to fix this, and I can't say 100% he's, you know, strapping on the parachute right now. Like, there's conflicting reports on it.
When Rick was almost gone, it's just such a very different experience because, okay, so the last year that right before Rick took off, Texas beats Arizona State in the first round on that Ridley putback. Then they get kind of their shit kicked in by Michigan, and
I remember that.
Yeah, they're bringing everybody back, and Jonathan Holmes says, "Well, maybe when Miles is here, he'll help." Right. So then they get Miles Turner a couple weeks later, and there's a lot of excitement. Like, all right, well, he's building this, and Rick, you know, he had those rough years, but he's coming back, and there was no question that he was going to return. And there was a pretty obvious feeling of all right, well, this team has a clear path to being relevant again. And then when they weren't, and in the nature that they weren't his last year, there wasn't consternation. Everyone's like, all right, it's done. We're finished. This is where it's going to be now for Texas. The last 2 weeks, for me at least, has been this weird, crazy roller coaster, because sources that I trust, people that I have gotten a lot of great information from in the past, are so emotional. And it is like, oh, Shaka's furious, or he's locked in, or he's trying to, you know, it's been one sort of strange conversation or text message after another of what's he going through and feeling? How much does he kind of care about this program? Does he even want to see us through? Oh, of course he wants to see us through. And it just it's been so strange. So if Texas fans out there are feeling like they can't get a handle on what it is, I feel relatively connected to the program. I guess I'm sure there's people who are much more so than I. But even as I have some people that I talked to and have had a chance over the last few years to cultivate some of those relationships, I'm feeling super confused. I don't know where we're going to be. I don't know how much he cares. I don't know if he's furious or thinking of this as a great challenge that he can get back into. I know that Del Conte is vetting his options and like already talking to some other coaches. I can tell you that for sure. I know that it is not a coincidence that Curry, that Wake Forest's AD was in Texas, was in Austin, and you know, right at the time when Shaka's, you know, when his struggles were getting to be there at their peak, you know, there's nothing concrete that can be said anywhere, no matter who tells you otherwise. Like it's the decision has not been made. Nothing is set in stone. Now something could come down tonight, or in the next 24 hours, or in the next week. I think that we'll probably know about Shaka's future with some certainty in 14 to 21 days. But right now, people are super emotional. There's a lot of question marks about, you know, where he is, what's going on, what's going to happen to him, if he wants to stay, if he doesn't want to stay, which recruits are going to stay, which guys, like, you know, how all those decisions get made. And on top of that, he's got some relatively important games to play with here. So it's just, you know, if I'm trying to paint a picture to our listeners that shit's kind of weird and I wish I had something more tangible and kind of like actually like that, you know, they could touch and feel, that they could have for an idea. But right now it's just all the people I'm talking to, it's not there.
It just seems like we're all in a bit of a wait and see mode, but in the meantime, enjoy the NIT, I guess, you know, have fun while it lasts. Enjoy the basketball season while it lasts. Enjoy Shaka Smart while he lasts. And Dylan Ostkowski, Kern Roach, enjoy it all while it lasts, because it's almost over. So I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing, but it's a thing.
Yes,
it's a thing. So
I think you could just sit there and think about it. Yeah. Just sit.
Or you could play D&D. On that note, thank y'all for pretending we were football for the past hour. I've been your host, Will Baizer, and you guys can find me on Twitter at WILLBAIZER. Johnny Brashear, where can we find you?
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at BitterWhiteGuy. I am also sort of on PlayStation under that name, although apparently they don't allow the word bitter in the username, so I had to get very creative.
Bitter?
Yeah. I tried to register Bitter White Guy, and it was like, that's against the rules. And then I was like, maybe it's... I tried all sorts of random variations, but the only one that worked is when I put a 1 in there for the I, and it was like, oh, excellent. Thank you.
But Johnny, I think it's time for everybody's favorite bit. Where in the world?
Is this everybody's favorite bit?
I don't know, but it is. It might be. It's all 9 listeners' favorite bit. Where in the world? It's Timothy Preston.
Well, actually, I want to take this moment to congratulate Tim, because he is he's just accepted his scholarship to USC for crew, and I'm really proud of him. Like, I didn't know there was crew.
It took a lot of work from Johnny and I to get him in. I mean, to get, you know.
Yeah, no, it's all that Iowa money. He's got just Iowa money laying around everywhere.
It wasn't really the money that got him in. It was his
that's true. It's the crew. It's definitely the crew.
Wasn't there a kid who played basketball at Stanford, and well, he's supposed to play, and he was 5'5"?
I don't know, but that sounds like Tim. Tim sounds like a 5'5" Stanford player. But no, he's playing it. He's doing crew at USC starting in the fall, and he's also now an Instagram influencer. Did not know that.
Yeah. So I have a quick call to catch, but Tim, while I'm getting on Skype, do you want to tell me where we can find you?
At InsideTexas.com and on Twitter, InsideTexasHoop, no S. I've actually put out like more tweets in the last 72 hours than I probably have in the last 5 months.
So like four?
Catch it while it's hot. Most, at least three of those tweets have been direct shots at Jonathan Brashear.
No, that's fair. Yeah.
There was the nice thread of Anchorman
stuff.
And then I created that gif of saying I love Lamp, and nobody appreciated it. But
that's nice.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you killed the whole vibe. Yeah. That's what you did.
I love Lamp.
You should have been champ. Whammy.
But Tim, our second favorite bit, where can we find you on the basketball court?
Well, certainly, recently, it's been pretty nice, so we had a chance to get outside. So, really, I like playing indoors inside of gymnasiums, but if I can get out to the park, if I can hoop it up somewhere outside, man, that's fun. Speaking of outside, I'll drain the outside shot. That's a very comfortable spot for me. Probably only out-comforted by being inside with the big boys. But really, where I'm most comfortable is right in your fucking face.
Always hits hard. But you guys can find us and our other shows on the Hornscast channel. It's the Hornscast channel right here, what you're listening to on iTunes, Johnny's favorite Podbean, Spotify, Podbean, Google Play, and anywhere you guys can find a podcast. Thank y'all for listening, and we'll see y'all next week. Hook 'em.
Hook 'em. Ooh, did we say hook 'em last week, Johnny? Like, what happened with that? Did I say hook 'em? You didn't say hook 'em? I don't remember that. How'd that go? I don't remember that. It was a while ago.
Podbean sounds like a vagina.